Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Jim. Tell me what's up. Don't it seem like I'm always there when it matters, but missing most of the other time, a terrible pattern. The rewards I see from working have made me an addict. There's way more people that want it than people that have it. I don't get it, I would hate to think I tricked them. They fall victim to my system, guess I sure know how to pick them. And I'm always a regret, yeah, I'm always a regret. And I always make it harder on whoever's coming next. It goes up and down, it's just up and down. She's crying now, but she'll laugh again, cause we on the rise and she here with us. And expensive shit just keeps happening and she loves it. Stares at me like, who does this? And we hold hands while I pray that she's not the type to hold grudges. I'm wrong.
Bad boys ain't no good. Good boys ain't no fun. Lord knows that I should run off with the right one.
Alafia, greetings and hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've just reached the Care to Read Room, where we're still talking about the redemption plan for the family, the relationship. It seems as though everyone is now talking about relationships. They're trying to see what it is that couples need. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about which is the wrong way, which is the right way. Now, Africans have not been doing anything to the tune of African consciousness in a while. So now they want to come up with explicit procedures on who has the monopoly on presenting an African plan. I like to say, if you're African and you're coming from any perspective of a tribe and you're doing something that negates our Eurocentric and you are putting your own twist on it, then go with it. Run with it. You don't even have to use OMI's methodology. You can create your own. But for these so-called experts that are out there now, and they're bringing in the Yalade, they're bringing in the priestess to define what is wrong and what's right. Now, if you're putting a twist on it at all that relates to Africanism, and you are defining your own tribe, then go with it, ladies and gentlemen, because something is better than nothing. And a lot of us are doing nothing, just that. We're staying unattached. We don't want to get hitched up. We don't want to be beholden to someone. We don't want to be committed to anyone. So we're staying disconnected. And that's what we're going to be talking about. What about that unattached spouse or significant other? What about the person that wants to be a Jimmy Mack? Or what about the person that wants to be a Duke of Earl? Or the one that says, I am a bachelor? Now, we're hearing this more and more these days, I'm a bachelor. And what that does is set precedence to tell you, I cannot be attached. So no matter what we do, I do not have to be attached. Even if I want to start up a relationship with you and I want to commit to nothing, I only want to have the services that you could render, but I don't want to commit to anything. I want to just be a bachelor. So if you bachelors are out there and you are talking about being disconnected and unattached and you want to sample the goods and you want to be a part of a relationship but you don't want any commitment, listen up, buddies. You can't have a relationship without a commitment. And a commitment is sometimes a big task, a big responsibility, but nevertheless, you got to put on your big boy drawers and pull them all the way up and grunt and bear it, because there's something to go along with that relationship. You just don't have the services for free. Now, we need to talk about it, because some of you bad boys out there are making these good boys look bad. When they are coming with the Constitution and they are laying it down and being committed, they just don't have the game that you have. The bad boys are making the good boys look bad, because they are the ones that want no attachment. Now we're getting to these gray-haired old silver-haired men who are talking about, I can't have an attachment because I need to have my money freed up to do what I want to do. See, we have too many of solo relationships where most of these people want to function on their own. Why get in a relationship if you're not committed to someone else? Now, we're going to talk about it in a minute, and we're going to talk about how we can change situations. Now, we're going to hear a little bit more of those bad boys and why we want to look at why these bad boys don't want a commitment. We'll talk about it in a second. Hold tight, people.
Hey, John. Don't it seem like I'm always there when it matters, but missing most of the other time, a terrible pattern. The rewards I see from working have made me an addict. There's way more people that want it than people that have it. I don't get it, I would hate to think I tricked them. They fall victim to my system, guess I sure know how to pick them. And I'm always her regret, yeah, I'm always her regret. And I always make it harder on whoever's coming next. It goes up and down, it's just up and down. She's crying now, but she'll laugh again, cause we on the rise and she here with us. And expensive shit just keeps happening, and she loves it. Stares at me like, who does this? And we hold hands while I pray that she's not the type to hold grudges. I'm wrong.
Bad boys ain't no good. Good boys ain't no fun. Lord knows that I should run off with the right one.
Get along so good.
So good.
Welcome back, family. Now, I'd like to say that some of you men are staying unattached because you just don't realize what a commitment is. Now, we had scheduled for a guest, Mr. Jerome Jadetta, and we're trying to get him on the line now. He might be in traffic. They're like an hour behind us there in Phoenix, Arizona. So we gave him a little call to see if he could connect, and we're going to be waiting for him and going to go right on with the show. And if he can connect with us today, then he will. If not, we will connect with him on tomorrow. But nevertheless, our topic for today is unattachment. Now, as I said earlier, it's not good for men to be alone, and I meant that because it came scripturally from the Bible. And there are those men out there that think that staying unattached is the smart way to go, but not necessarily so. Contrary, my friend, it's very important that you should have a companion and someone that you could weather the storm with. Now, we're talking a little bit about relationships because we want people to understand that there is no one person or organization or group that has a monopoly on this thing. I don't care who they say they are. Not even I have a monopoly on it. You can do a twist or a change or an adjustment of how you want to put your relationship together. But commitment first must be the prerequisite for all relationships. Now, I just want to lay it on the table to you that when you make a commitment, it's giving up a part of yourself. It's sharing your life with someone else. It is not becoming evaporated like a vapor where you no longer exist. Don't ever give up your life where you have no place in the relationship. You must also hold on to a part of yourself, and you must also remember that this relationship is for the benefit of the both of you. No one person will run the show. So when you think I'm going to lose myself in this woman and I cannot be found, or I'm going to lose all of my friends and I'll become a couch potato, or I'll be attached to my wife's apron, you have to set the precedent as to what you want in that redemption plan and lay it down on the line that I'm already filled. My glass is filled. All you could do is pour over into my life. So if you still want to have access to your friends going out, you must make sure that that woman understands that you're not giving up your life, but you're adding to your good thing. And woman, you must also understand that if you're taking that man's personality away and he no longer has a personality, he's just a yes man to you, then that's not a relationship. It won't last very long. I can say this much about my relationship in the past. I always had an identity, and I allowed my husband to keep his identity. And when time would allow, I would step into his life and support him, and he did vice versa. But we always kept our own identity, and people did not see us as a smorgasbord where we have washed ourselves out and we don't exist. And when my husband is asked the question, then I speak. Now, sometimes you might have the answer, but you want everyone in a relationship to remain an individual. Now, unattachment comes because people are intimidated. They feel that they're threatened. Now, I want you men to put your unattachment belt back up there on the shelf and don't feel like you have to give up your life if you're going to get married. Now, consequently, there are going to be some commitments that you're going to have that you don't have as a single person. That is understood. But the main thing you must understand is that relationships take time, and they have to be shared. Now, to you Jimmy Mackers out there, and you Duke Averos, and all those brothers that are talking about, I'm a bachelor. You know, I can go out with who I want to, and I can stay out as late as I want. Don't ask me where I've been. I'm grown. Fine, but you must render the same service to that other significant other. You have to understand when we ask where you've been, it's for your benefit. So in the event that you need someone to intervene on your behalf, it's for your safety. But this attitude problem where you're speaking in a negative tone as if you're not beholden to that other person makes that other person feel like you have no commitment. Now, those unattachment behaviors, they go along with being single. If you do not want to be attached, then you have no business proposing to marry someone because you are faking the funk. Now, how many of you brothers out there are faking the funk? If you're faking the funk and you're just looking to get a little action and you want to take a little bit of the action before you marry someone, don't go fooling a woman, making her think that you're getting ready to get attached when you know you're not. Be honest with her. If you tell her you're not going to act right, tell her it's not about just I'm not going to act right. Tell her I'm not ready for a commitment. And if she persists, you let her know that I'm not ready for a marriage. Don't let anyone talk you into something that you're not ready for. And that's part of the problem, ladies. Sometimes we talk up a good game. Oh, it's going to be so beautiful when we become ready. And then we'll finally be together, just me and you, baby. Fine. But if that man doesn't want to be alone with you and wants to have his own time, it will never work. Give the man some breathing room. If it's truly for you, it'll come around. Now, here's what Africans do. They get a reading. And I just want to make it quite blunt to you. As an African Yoruba priestess, Yalade, I forgot to add on there, ladies and gentlemen, I was asked to be the Yalade, which I served as a Yalade for many, many years. And a Yalade is a higher level than a priestess. But nevertheless, I'm saying that go and get a reading from your priest or your Yalade or Babalawo and ask if it's in the cards for you to be united. Most priests will not marry you unless you've had a reading because they want to see if there is any future problems that they can foresee in the reading. If there is any trouble that might be foreseen that they can ward off in your relationship. And if it is possible that you were not to be together and the priests give you recommendation and tell you not to get married because of what might happen, you have to be very, very astute and adhere to what that priest, Babalawo or Yalade, is telling you because they have foresight. And if they foresee that there's something in a tribal issue that you can't resolve, some things can't be resolved. If a man understands that he's marrying that other family, and if he's had rift with the family and could not resolve it, and if it will pose a problem to the new wife-to-be, it needs to be discussed. And if the man is impotent and has a problem, he needs to bring that information forward. If he's been hospitalized, he needs to talk about all those things because these are potential things that could flare up in the marriage later on. Now, while getting counsel from your Yalade or your priestess will usually go to Ifa to consult Ifa for directions. And right about now, we're going to take a little time to consult our ancestors and to thank them for allowing us to be in their presence. And we cannot do anything except for stand on our ancestors' shoulders, and we want to properly make sure we acknowledge Akamare, who is our higher self, and Akamare, who is the God of this universe, and we acknowledge Akamare and the manifestation of Oladulamare. We pour libations to Oladulamare, and we see Ashe. I pour libations to my Father, Spirit, Obatala, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to Yamanja, my Mother, Spirit, and I say Ashe. I light a candle to my mother so that she will find her way home. I light a candle for my father and say, Father, find your way back to reconnect the circle. I pour libations to the east and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the west and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the north and I say, Ashe. I pour libations finally to the south and I say, Ashe. It is my prayer that each of you who have not decided if you wanted to be connected or disconnected will be calm, plain, and firm in your thinking. You will not be double-minded anymore, and you will make up your mind how you will set precedence on your decision. It is my prayer that relationships will come into consciousness and they will be awakened about the African consciousness. It is my desire and hope that every married couple present here today representing a family will take time out to reinvest in their relationship and that they will reunite themselves to their vows and recommit themselves to the community. And community, you will watch over these couples and you will be there to support them as a foundation. It is my desire, my prayer. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. On thee do we wait, and on thee do we proceed for help. Guide us on the straight path, not on the path of that one who has gone astray. And we just ask that everyone continue to pray for each other in these relationships because we are not our own, ladies and gentlemen. We have to remember that when we marry the community, that means that those significant people are concerned about us. Now, remember I told you that the customs I was giving you had an Omi twist on them? It is not a customary thing for the couples to marry many couples in the village. It is a customary thing. I like to tell you a story that initially the African women lived by themselves and the African men lived in another village by themselves. But they also always came to the village where the women were and cohabitated with them, meaning they had intercourse with them. And some of them became with child and had children. However, these men went back to their village from time to time, leaving these women to bear the burden of carrying this impregnation and for taking care of their own villages. It became a concern of these women that the men needed to stay in the village to assist and aid them. And then I'm told that marriage came about after that. There was a discussion and a reading was done. They asked for a reading to be done, and there was an ebal. And at that particular point, the reading indicated that the man needed to stay with the women and that they needed to cohabitate in the same village. The men didn't want to listen to it because they personally wanted their own life. They wanted to be unattached, and they wanted to go back to their ways of their lifestyle. But it would have it that in the reading that the lifestyles and the ways of the couple were to be united together in one village. So finally, there was a flood. This one evening that the men came to the women to once again have relationship, they found that they were not able to return home because of the flood, and they had to stay longer than what they wanted. And then at that particular point, marriage became inevitable for those couples. Now, this is just one side of the story, and many people tell the story so many different ways, and I know that there's other twists on the story, but I told you this story to let you know that marriage wasn't always in existence for African Americans or for Africans. It was not always in existence. Now, people say, oh, but they got married because they love one another. Love is not always inevitable, too, because in the arranged marriage, you couldn't possibly love someone you didn't know. You couldn't possibly have an insight on this person's character that was betrothed to you if you didn't know them. So how could you very well love them? So I do not think love is a prerequisite for marriage. I think a commitment is first a prerequisite. Now, if I'm so attached in my life, and the Bible said it's up to the single woman to pay attention to the things of God because she is attached to the things of God. But a married woman must pay attention to her husband because she becomes attached to him. Now, for those of you unattached people, unattached and don't want to be attached, then you need to look at the relationship a little bit differently. You can't go sampling the cow. You can't go frequently entertaining intercourse with a woman and thinking that you don't have to be committed, because at one point she's going to fall in love with you and she's not going to want you to leave the village. And when she gets to that point, she's going to want you to stay around to help out with the maintenance and the household chores to help her as she carries your child. So therefore, it's important that we try to stay in the same village, preferably, and assist and aid in building up that village that we both live in. It is very hard to maintain two households because they will become divided. Now that we're looking at customs and tradition, Africans, I want you to always be concerned about the fact, what would be customary for an African? Don't tell me what the Jewish people are doing, or the European, or the Turkish. What are the Africans doing? And don't tell me this is what the African Americans do, because we have just come into being accepted into the circle of marriage in just a few short millennia. We have not been accustomed to this thing for a long time. So therefore, there's time enough for you to go back and look into the Coptic records of your traditional forefathers. Now, being that this room is an African consciousness room, we are very concerned about doing things African style. We're very concerned about going back and getting our customs, traditions, and ritual. When you look at the Buddhists, they have their customs and traditions in their religion. When you look at the Christians, they have their customs and traditions. When you look at the Jewish people, they have their customs and traditions. But there is no place called African Americans. You have to embrace Africa people. And you have to embrace their customs and tradition. Like it or not, we wear the mark and the scar of the burnt-skinned people. And we must understand that we must know ourselves. If we continue to stay outside of ourselves and not know what is authentically ours, we will be forever more confused. Mental illness will run rampant among us because we are still dealing with the Maiafa. And there's still terms of endearment where some of the Africans are still suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome from the African slave movement from the Middle Passage. So therefore, we are still light years behind ourselves and trying to get to know who we are. So therefore, you must continue to dig deep and look long and hard for what actually belongs to you authentically as an African. And don't reject it. Don't go saying, I want to stay unattached. I'm just an African-American. What is an African-American? How do you determine what part is African and what part is American? So when you can't determine, you go back and identify with the African aspect of yourself, because you must be tied to a land-based people. You must be tied to a land base. And it's very important that every other culture has tied themselves to a land base. So as we look at the traditions of our father, we've come a long way from women living separately from the men to looking at slavery, where women were separated from the houses, where their man had to be sold off. We're looking at trying to regroup what was authentically African. And therefore, we want to take unattachment out of our vocabulary, because it is not good for man or woman to be alone. So we're going to acknowledge that we're going to take up with a significant other, someone that we can keep company with, someone that can help us to re-identify ourselves, someone to share something with. So for those Jimmy Mackin, Duke and the Earl, talking about they want to be unattached, it is not healthy. And I'm telling you this because statistics say that those who remain single and unmarried, their lifespans are cut short significantly. So one of the things we want to do is talk to you bad boys who are professing to be bad boys and bragging about all of the things that you can do as a single person. At one point, you're going to get lonely, and you're going to want a significant other, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with having a buddy or a partner. Sometimes when men see good things in you and they want to be attached to you, the first thing they yell is, I'd like to be your buddy. I want you to be my buddy. We're just going to be friends. See, they want to carry that friendship status until they can't look in your eyes anymore without having lust in their heart for you. And then when that happens, they want to make that transition. You're no longer a buddy. Now you're a bed partner. You're a sleeping partner. But it's okay because we're just buddies. There's no commitment there, woman. Don't go for that. The man has to make a commitment. If he takes a chance of sleeping with you and a child is born, where is his commitment? How far will he go on the line to take care of you and that child? If that isn't discussed before you lay down with the gin, when you get up, your whole life will be hell to deal with. He will no longer know you. You'll just be a scorned woman to him. He will then look at you and say, I told you, but I told you that I wasn't going to act right no way. I told you that I was a bachelor. I told you that I was a player. See, but at the same time, his words were not matching up with his action because you just started off being buddies, but he pushed it to another level. You have to understand what part and what place you play in that person's life. And fathers and mothers, you have to ask young men that come to see your daughter, what intentions do you have with my daughter? And women, you have to ask the men, what are the intentions that you have with me? Where do you plan on taking me? And just what is your objectives with me? If it's to be a friend, then keep it as a friendship. Don't see the person every day because absence make the heart grow fonder. But if you are with that person every day, you will soon become common with them and second nature will set in. So we want to stop this thing about being unattached. We want to plan for an engagement. Plan for a relationship because they're healthy and they have been ordained. We don't want people walking around unattached because we know the we concept is strong in the African faith. The we concept is very, very strong in the presence of the masses of the people. And when you are always an island, and speaking of singular plural or singular person number one, that means that you are no longer an African concept. African concepts are we, and they're plural, and they're duality. Speaking of male and female gender, it's very important that you understand, ladies and gentlemen, that I am not teaching this perspective from some other priest. I do not need another priest to endorse what I'm saying. I do not need a Baba Law to endorse what I'm saying. I have been thoroughly trained by one of the best Baba Laws in the country. Chief Metahoti personally set me down to train me. I can speak the language. I don't have to get on this air constantly speaking the language, but for you to understand that it is required of all of us Africans to learn an African language. To be self-taught is even better. But at the same time, you're going to run into other Yaladays and priestesses that may not even speak from the same perspective that I'm speaking from. And they do not need me to endorse them. Each priest is trained to be a healer, a doctor, a cultivator, a family advocate, all that there is in life to be. That is why you see me come from so many different directions when I am teaching on family lifestyle, mind, body, soul, and spirit, as a doctor would say, because all of these things keep you intact. You must understand relationships above all things. And the reason we're going strong on this marriage thing is we have lost the cultivation of relationship. There are animals that function better than we do. We are the mammals. We are the ones that are attached to our loved ones. We are the ones that are attached to our babies. So we are the ones that must demonstrate attachment skills. But when we get to the point where we no longer understand attachment skills, when a man can dump sperms off in a woman as if she's a sperm bank and walk away and say he wants to be unattached, he's no longer a mammal. I want to teach you how to be a warm-blooded mammal so you go back to your young and to your significant other and support them and making sure that they get over the grain house and get across the river and that they have safety and security. Because when you look back for that significant other, two can chase 1,000 and one only can chase one. Now, it's important that we understand that as we go at this thing, the significant other is very important in our life. And for me to be saying it, it has to be saying something, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm going through a separation, but yet I know that my ex-husband still must remain my best friend. And we still must be cautious to each other and speak to each other and communicate. So I'm teaching you from a perspective that you could very well have had a good marriage, but you could be going through a divorce because commonality can set in where two people can't live together, but it doesn't necessitate that they must hate each other. They still must have respect for each other. So I'm saying to you people who are exiting out of a relationship or going through a divorce, do not hate your significant other. Remain cautious to that person, and anything you can do to better their life, do it, because it will go well with you. Now, on a detachment, I want you to understand that don't be so quick to detach yourself from other people, because it's very important that you should have an ally to support you on all sides. And our guest has not come in this evening, so we will have him on the show tomorrow. And I apologize that he is on the road and didn't make it to the lines in time. But he wants to be on the show terribly bad, and that is Jerome Jadetta. He is an expert relationship specialist, and he's coming to us from Phoenix, Arizona. He'll be speaking with us tomorrow. Hopefully we can get him on the air a little bit early because they are in different time zones. But Jerome Jadetta had quite a bit to talk to us about attachment. So we'll continue this subject on unattachment tomorrow and talking about what happens when you become so unattached that you no longer have a circle of friends. And one of the things I do know that happens when you unattach yourself from your circle of friends, then mental illness sets in. Mental illness sets in to the point where you no longer know who supports you, and you become somewhat paranoia, and you can become schizophrenic. You can also become bipolar and not knowing how to function in society. Unattachment can be very dangerous, people, and even if there's not a significant other who you cohabitate with, you need to still attach yourself to friends and attach yourself to foes if you have to, but know this, it's very crucial that you cannot exist in this world as an island. No man is an island. We must attach ourselves to flesh and blood and bond with flesh and blood so that we can remain mammals and loving and caring. And on that note, I want to remind you to stay tuned for tomorrow because we're going to be attaching ourselves to significant others and to friends and loved ones, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll see you on tomorrow, bright and early. So join us tomorrow. Thank you so much. We want to thank you, listeners who are in the chat room. Thank you for joining us. We'll be here tomorrow. We'll be bringing Jerome Jadetta back with us tomorrow. So stay tuned.
The world is ours. Major Black.
Until my eyes are red, we both said that things would change, but it's still the same shade of gray. I just can't go on no more. Feel
I got her looking at me sideways. Live every night like it's a Friday. Our conversations are so monumental, licking on the ear. I'm whispering a couple riddles. She fell in love with my technique. I made her call me boss when in the bed sheet. We both coming from the same place. All in a boat coming at the same place. Still on my dope boy swag. Top down on my camera. Oh boy swag. Played the hand we was dealt from the beginning, baby. Yeah, the dealer cut the deck while we winning, baby.
Came from Mary.
I just want.